And you'll sleep good at night. You even snore. And I'm a snoring man because I work for everything I got. I came from a family of eight, a large family, where you didn't call the parts of the chicken you want. You know, I deal with people who don't eat nothing but white meat and all that kind of stuff. But we were just blessed to get the backbone. I had big brothers, big old football players, and they'll lick your food and ask you, do you want it? You know, young folks get all upset because we didn't have all the luxuries that you have now. We had all, you know, we had boys and we had what we call a draws draw. Draws draw. Y'all call it underwear. And whatever came out the draw, that's what you put on. Look at them young folks. Ugh. None of y'all took no bath in no number 310 tub. See, when I sit back over there and I think about what God has brought me out of, hallelujah. Lived in a wooden frame house. It was natural air. Had all the cracks and everything in the wall. The air just blew through. But I'm sitting back now and I'm thinking about the goodness of God and how God has blessed me. How my mama used to tell me, boy, you special. I said, mama, don't say I'm special. Because back in my day, that means special education. Y'all call it the short bus. In Georgia, Waycross, it was just a short walk. Because we didn't have no bus system. So I can look back and reflect back on, say, God, why me? Because I know I was doing wrong. I know I should have died somewhere doing some old stupid stuff that I was doing. But God saved me. And he filled me with his spirit. So now I look back over my life and I ain't going to be talking about I wonder how I got over. I know how I got over because it was God who brought me over. It's God who brought me over. And when I look back, I say, God, I thank you. And I know God is not one who has respect of persons like the two. Somebody come in this church and got a little body odor, you won't sit them up front. But God don't care anything about the body odor. God cares about your soul. And we are losing too many of our young people now on suicide. Because they don't understand the value of their life. You're valuable. God sent you the right family. Because I hear my sisters all the time, if I would have been able to choose my family, I wouldn't have chosen none of them. All my family would have had money. So my sisters laugh. They say, I wouldn't have chose you either. Because you ain't got money. But God is good, a merciful God, a gracious God. God don't even give us what we deserve. Because when I look back on my life, I know what I deserved. I deserved what I was going to get, which was hell. But I heard a preacher. You can't hear this word without a preacher. I know you young folks think y'all can. But a preacher has a special anointing. Anointed by God. There's a difference between talent and anointed. Anointed people, you don't have no problem out of them because they're under the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Talented people say, if I'm not going to sing, if I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing nothing. Like God owe you something. It's out of grace and mercy. I thank God for grace and mercy. And today, I'm going to talk out of Matthew's, the first chapter, 16 to the 25th verse. There's a lot of folks have been hatched out of the scripture because they couldn't handle what the scripture says. Because God is talking about a miraculous birth, a virgin birth, Most people will get you all hung up because they think God is limited. God is never limited. God can do whatever he wants to do, whatever who he wants to do it with. We realize in our Sunday school and our Bible study, which is on Thursdays and Sunday, that's a special announcement for some of y'all. Out of those teaching ministries, you learn the things of God, then you want to live according to the scripture. All right. I was sitting in church, and I heard a preacher preach, I'll never forget it, out of the Romans, the 10th chapter, and that is my scripture. He said, I had a zeal of God. Paul talks about Israel. It's important to him that Israel be saved, like it's important to me that all of us be saved, because Jesus is coming again. Yes. Don't know the day, don't know the hour, but I know he's soon to come, because I can look at the signs of the time and realize that he's coming. Yes. Because we don't think he's important anymore. We don't just been woe to sleep, not valuing the things of God and not valuing God's people. God said, the more you give to my people, the more I'm going to give to you. The more you be a blessing to my people, the more I'm going to be a blessing to you. So in this scripture today, because a lot of people can't handle what's in the Word of God, they make all kinds of stories and fairy tales, and they say that Jesus Christ is not God. Yes, he is. When I came here, I was on this under the idea that when I get to heaven, I'm going to see three: the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then I learned through the scripture they're all of one. So here we are in this lesson today, in this message today. And like I said, I won't be here long. Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ of 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidded him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You have to start out by knowing that the prophets had spoken in the Old Testament, had prophesied what was going to take place in the New Testament. So it was established that the seed, the child, the Christ child, would come through David's lineage. In other words, through the seed of David. So that's why when you get to that 16th verse, it talks about where the who begat who, and Joseph married Mary, and the name Jesus came. That was prophesied by the prophets. Now you have to set the tone and the atmosphere to realize that Joseph and Mary was already predestined by God to bring forth the Savior of the world. In the Old Testament, they were sacrificing lambs. And the lamb had to be a perfect sacrifice. You couldn't sacrifice a one-eyed lamb because most of us, we want to give God the least. We'll give him the damaged goods. We won't give him the fairest of fairs and the best of best. So God put something in place where the priest had to approve your sacrifice. So you couldn't bring the priest a lamb that was limping, a lamb that had one eye, a lamb that had one ear, because the sacrifice had to be perfect. Because what? God was sending his perfect sacrifice, which was going to be Jesus Christ. But he had to have a miraculous birth. See, you go back to the scripture, one man made a decision to do what his woman asked him to do, called Adam. And it was out of love for the woman. That's why women can basically get us to do a lot of stuff. Because we love our woman. Most men don't want to see their women crying. We'll go get in debt to keep my woman from crying. Yeah, baby, I know we can't afford it, but I'm going to get you that Cadillac. Because I want you happy. So what happened with Adam and Eve? Eve was deceived, but the man was never deceived. See, they used to tell me, talking about she took an apple and put it in a pie and gave it to him, and that's why he ate the forbidden fruit. No, read in Genesis, the serpent deceived her. She took a bite out of the apple and passed it to her husband. And the first thing the man did was, when God appeared in the garden, he hollered out, "Lord, is that woman that you gave me? That's why I disobeyed you." And that's when all men start falling, because they disobeyed God. In this lesson, in this message this morning, I told you about Babylon. It was 14 generations. We who've been studying in Sunday school, we've been talking about the minor prophets. Where what happened was, Israelite was blessed by God. Israel was blessed by God. But they were also disobedient people, doing those things that God told them not to do. God said, "Don't make no alliance with the people where I'm going to give you the land." They don't like God. Don't make no alliances with these Philistines. Don't make an alliance. But what they did was, they made alliances with them. They started even marrying their women and started marrying each other, which tainted God's people. Because God said never, that should never happen. But they tainted God's people. So what God did was, and what we found out was, God sent you prophets. And the prophets was to prophesy of your sins. Not tell you that you're going to win the lottery. or not tell you to get in this $100 line and give me $100 and you're going to be blessed. These prophets talked about your sin nature. These prophets said that you're in sin. Good example, John the Baptist was in Herod's jail hollering, "Hey, that woman you got up there, that's your brother's wife. You, that ain't your woman." Next thing you know, chop. They cut John the Baptist's head off. See, people want prophecy, but they don't want prophecy that talks about your sin nature. We want God's rewards, but we don't want to live right. We want God's blessings, but we're not willing to do what it takes to be right in the sight of God. Now, I'm telling you, this flesh go through some things. I don't care how we cut it, we always going to have issues in this flesh. Good example, you going down the road and you just saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." And then somebody cuts you off. Then you go beep, beep, beep. Because that's in the flesh. And the flesh is always going to be at odds with the Spirit of God. In these 14 generations, 14 Abraham, and then they go into Babylon, and God sent Nebuchadnezzar to them. Read the scripture. God says, "I'm going to use Nebuchadnezzar to chasten you. I'm going to use him to put you back in the will of God." It's just something about when you're suffering, when you got one of the most supervisors that put you in one of them old tight spots. When you say, "I don't know, Lord. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it." But you told the Lord last week, you said, "Lord, I want to get closer to you." All right. So God takes your supervisor and put him in a position to harass you, not sexually. He's going to jail now. So he ain't going to sexually harass you. He's just going to pick at your work and pick on you and then make you go home on Sunday and Sunday morning you up in church because of your supervisor. But God says these are 14 generations from Abraham to Babylon and then from David to Babylon and then from Babylon to Jesus Christ. 14 generations. It comes to 42 generations before Joseph and Mary comes on the scene. It was prophesied by the prophets. And I'll give you some scripture so you go home and see is the old boy telling you the truth. Now Joseph was the foster father of Christ because his daddy was the Holy Ghost. But Joseph also was in the lineage of David. In other words, he was a descendant of David. Not like me. I can't go past four generations. Some people can go five, but probably not more than six. But we're talking about 14 generations. He was also, he was a son of Jacob who was in the lineage of David, who was also traced back to royal lineage. Then God takes Mary. Mary is also a descendant. She was the daughter of Heli, of the tribe of Judah, of the lineage of David. She was also in the royal lineage of David. And when we talk about what had happened was, Mary was espoused to Joseph, not engaged. Espoused was just like you were married. You just ain't had a honeymoon. I'm keeping it clean because we got children in here. See, y'all think y'all married when you make the vows, but you're married on the honeymoon. The confirmation, thank y'all. It comes that night or that day, that's when you know now you're married. But David was espoused to her, it was already, he was married to her, but they did not have the honeymoon. So what had happened was, Mary was told by Gabriel that she was going to conceive and have a son, and she was a virgin. A lot of religions started, false religions started out of that concept, because they could not adapt to a virgin not being with a man, and she's conceived. I had some people to come to me one time and say, everybody got a father. And I said, I was weak in the word then. I said, you right. Everybody in my neighborhood had a daddy. He said, well, how can Jesus don't have a physical father? I said, you right. Then they asked me to stop eating pork. It was just like the little boy that had strayed away from his daddy, called a prodigal son, and he was in the hog pen, and the scripture said he came to himself. I came to myself. I say, something ain't right about that scripture. God ain't made that hog for me not to eat him. Then I read where God says all you have to do is bless it. And realize it came from me. Y'all sitting up here and talking about y'all ain't eating no crabs and shrimp. It was never meant for you Gentiles. That was under the law. And none of y'all, any Jews in here? You could have ate crabs and shrimp all your life. All you have to do is take out time and bless it. So Moses, here's David, and David is thinking about this woman is with a child. And the first thing that comes up in his spirit is, what the people gonna say? And he was thinking to put her away, but in Deuteronomy 24:1, he had to give her writ of divorce. Writ of divorce says that, and that was given to God, given through God to Moses as one of the declarations, one of the 537 laws? I mean, 613, thank y'all, amen. Those are one of the things that God says. In order to give her a writ of divorce, you got to find her unclean. You got to give her a writ of divorce, and you just can't mail it. You can't have it specially delivered. Read the scripture. It says you have to put it in her hands. And then she leaves your house, and she's free to marry someone else. So as David was thinking on these things, as Joseph was thinking on these things, and the scripture says he was a just man. What that means is he was an honest man. He was thankful for God, and he was just exact. He wanted to do things right. Just like when the Spirit of God comes inside of you and dwells in you as a Holy Ghost, you just want to do it right. You don't want to make excuses. Because all of us can make excuses why we do what we do. But when I read it in the scripture, I want to be right with him. I don't want to be right with my friends like I used to be. And then they still turn their back on me when I say, no, I ain't going to do that. But I want to be right in the sight of God. I want to be right according to the scripture. So he being a just man, he was thinking about it. He was dreaming about it. He was dreaming about it. And God told him, Joseph, in a dream, the angel said, Joseph, don't put her away. Because the child that she's carrying is conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, Richard Pryor used to make jokes about that, and, you know, people who don't know nothing laugh with Richard. But I ain't never laughed at that joke. Because as I read the scripture, my knowledge comes alive. And then I know that God is able to do exceedingly more than what we even imagine. We don't even have the brain capacity to imagine what God can do. Don, I was looking at my animal channel the other day, and me and Don talk about this all the time. I was looking at the animal channel, and they just brought up reptiles. I don't never think about no reptiles. And they were talking about how beautiful the snakes are and all that. To me, the only beautiful snake is a dead snake. Yeah, I know he eats rats and he does all that other stuff, but I get me a rat trap. I'm back in Genesis when the God says that her seed is going to bruise his head and he was going to bruise their heel. So I was looking at this and they were showing all these beautiful frogs and different colored frogs and different colored snakes. And I was always a fan of the brother Irvin, Steve Irvin. Steve, y'all remember Steve, right? Amen. Animal Channel people, we remember Steve because Steve was just like our president of the Animal Channel. Steve didn't fear nothing. Steve died handling a stingray. Stingray pierced his heart and he died. Now they got a show with his two children. The same little child. Y'all remember they were raising all that saying about Steve because Steve had his baby in his arm while he was wrestling an alligator, trying to get the alligator to go in a pen. Everybody was writing all kinds of letters. Steve with that accent, Australian accent, look, I know he was cussing, but I didn't understand the words, you know, that he was saying. But I know Steve was cursing because Steve was saying, ain't no way I'm going to endanger my child. And now those children that he had two kids, now they got a show. They got a zoo. Over 700,000 acres, I believe it is. Zoo. And now they handling animals. But here we are today, and Joseph is thinking to divorce her. And he already saying, now how I'm going to divorce her? But he was going to do it privately. He wasn't going to be like the man that men who caught the woman in the very act of adultery. And one sister on Thursday night, she said, wait a minute, where was the man? The man was never intended to come. It was just to be a challenge to Jesus. She was caught in the very act of adultery. And they were saying, now Moses says that she should be stoned. But God, what do you say? And you know the scripture, Jesus didn't open his mouth. Because Jesus could not, if Jesus would have went by the law, he'd have had to throw a stone. So Jesus said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. Now, some of them people be disobedient would throw them stone. But they was convicted by their heart, so that's putting her away publicly. But he wanted to put her away private because he loved Mary. So he wanted to put her away easy, without noticing, without anything coming up, because they were thinking they were had already had the honeymoon because she was with child. That won't work today, sisters. Don't you dare go tell your husband or your boyfriend, this is of the Holy Ghost. Because that would be a holy lie. Only one came through the Holy Ghost. Don't take but one to redeem all of us. Took one to put us in sin. It only takes one to bring us out of sin. Look out, Peter. So here we are, and Joseph wanted to put away, but the Spirit of God sends an angel to Joseph. In his dream, the angel talks to him. But he's being a just man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get in trouble everywhere I go, so I might as well get in trouble this morning. What a sister doing loving the Lord and dating an unsaved man? Your man should be saved. Now, both of y'all out there, and you come to the Lord, then Paul writes how to win into Christ in Corinthians. But they don't say how can two walk together unless they agree. A fountain does not give out bitter and sweet water. It only can one. It says, how can a man love two masters? You can't. It's about like the old song I used to hear old boy singing, I got two lovers. I got two women. I love them both the same. Sounds good, but that ain't true. If he ain't doing nothing but bringing groceries for one and paying the light bill and the car note and everything else, who he loved the most? The one with, I can follow all of us through our money. Because our money, where we put our money is, that's where our heart is. I know now we don't write checks anymore. I'm still old school. I'll write a check. I got something now. Yeah, but most of y'all want to swipe that old card. I write checks. So I can follow my check. When they send that statement to you, you can follow that card also. So here's Joseph, and he's thinking of putting her away, and the angel tell him, says, no, Joseph, this is by God. She's going to bring forth a son, and he's going to be God's personal lamb. By being God's personal lamb, that means that once Jesus is sacrificed, we all have to come under the blood of Jesus. All God wanted from all the Israelites was repentance. We were looking at Jeremiah. Jeremiah had prophesied for 40 years, repent and come to God. 40 years. You know, he died and they still hadn't repented. God is so loving, so kind, so forgiving. He's not like a man. People say, I forgive you until something happens, and then they'll bring it up. I'm so glad that when I look back and look at my life, I know all my sins are covered by his blood. And through the covering of his blood, when you look at me, all you see is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the blood, I'm guilty of everything you might be able to imagine. I done some stuff. I came back and said, I wonder why did I do that? But it was by the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all my sins. So God tells Joseph, the angel tells Joseph in the dream, take her. The baby that she's carrying is of the Holy Ghost. And he takes her. And takes her with him to his house. And they are married. And the scripture I read to you today said that he did not know her until the baby was born. There is a woman in the temple that we read about a few weeks ago, Anna. Anna had been married 7 years and didn't know her husband physically. Because people, I never been to the Holy Land per se, but I went to the replica in Orlando. I was blown away at the number of people who just dedicated their life to translate God's word for you. Just like you go to work, they go and translate and had to hide out. In this country, we're not persecuted of our beliefs. I can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then God tells Joseph, take her and make her your wife. And then they have this son. And they call him Emmanuel. The interpretation of Emmanuel, God with us. So through Jesus Christ, God came down through 42 generations in the form of his son, his only begotten son, 42 generations, and through his precious blood, we can overcome. It was a short life. Jesus only lived for 33 years. His ministry only lasted 3 years. He went against tradition. And tradition is the same people, the church people are the same people who killed the prophets. The same people who mutilated the prophets. No one loved the prophet but his mama. Because the prophet talked about sin and your lives and how you're living. Nobody wants to be talked about their life and not yielding. God wants us to come to him humble. Jesus was a humble man. Could have sent down legions of angels to destroy, but never did. We were talking the other night on Thursday night where he just took 3 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And when they took up the leftovers, they had 12 baskets left over. God is so loving, so kind, so merciful. Emmanuel, God is with us. So while we're decorating the tree, remind your children why we're decorating the tree, why we're putting these things under the tree. And we find out that there's nothing wrong with having a tree as long as you ain't sitting there and bowing in front of it. Because you have made that tree your God. There should be nothing between you and God. So tell your children who brought the gifts. Quit lying. Me and Doc was in the car, Pastor Clay, and she told me, don't ruin Danae's Christmas. Danae is our daughter. Don't ruin Danae's Christmas by telling her about Santa Claus. I said, okay, baby. As long as she don't ask me. Going down the road, here come Danae, sitting in the back seat. Daddy, Daddy, what about Santa Claus? And I started telling her about Santa Claus. Santa Claus is nothing but a pagan. I'm going to be honest with you. Don't you tell your children Santa Claus is coming to town. Not in town. He had been in town 365 days. Sleeping right next in the same house. I'm Santa Claus. Y'all talking about he coming down the chimney. Ain't no chimney even in your house. You got a modern house. You ain't got no chimney. Them babies, I got grandbaby. I got a little old 11. Well, she'll Google you. She said, Papa, he coming down the chimney? Let me Google that. Little old baby saying, we ain't got no chimney. How you gonna get in? There's nothing wrong but tell the child the truth. Because what will happen is, if you lie about that, they'll think you're lying about something else. Our parents used to tell us the truth, and that's where we need to go back. Telling our kids what the truth is. The truth is that we don't even know that December the 25th is Christ's birthday, and we don't. Because there was no vital statistics during that time. Now, you can go to the health department if you're born and do all kind, and you can get your statistics showing who you when you were born and everything, with the doctor and everything. It's called vital statistics, but in Jesus' day, was no vital statistics. So we celebrate the 25th. You know why we celebrate the 25th? Because we know he was born. That's why we celebrate on the 25th, because we know he was born. I know he was born because when I look back over my life and he coming into my life, I say, God, I thank you. I just thank you, Lord. When I look back, this is the only hell I'm going to ever catch. It's what I'm catching now. And it ain't really hell because I know who holds my heartbeat, who holds my future, Who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Who is the Alpha and the Omega? He was here from the beginning of time. He's my King. He's my Lord. Don't get all upset when things go wrong, Tina, because I know he got me in the hollow of his hand. I ain't going nowhere, Lord. I don't care what comes up or what comes down. I'm going to stay with you, God, because I know you are all who you are. I know, Lord, you done me right, God. I know, God, I should have been dead doing some of that stupid stuff I was doing. Hallelujah. I wake up now in the right mind. You know, you can wake up one morning and won't even know your name, but it's God who holds my fluid in my brain. It's God who gives me the increase. It's God who sent me to Francis and Jordan Perry, people who made me go to Sunday school and made me go to church. I thank God that they gave me a grip by making me doing those things. Now I do them at ease because I know I need him. I need him each and every hour of the day, even in my darkest hours. I have been in some dark places and some dark times and asked, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He said, keep praising me. Keep praising me because I'm going to bring you out like pure gold. I'm going to bring you out like I brought out Job. I'm going to bring you out like I brought out Job. Job lost everything, lost his family, lost his riches, lost his livestock, had boils all on his body, used to get a shell, a brick, and scrape the boils on his body. But he said, Lord, for you I live, and for you I die. I'm going to stick with you, God. Stop letting people tell you that he ain't coming, because he's coming. He's coming. Look at the signs of the time. Children killing their parents. Parents killing their children. Children killing their grandparents. And everything going on, robbing and people burning down your house with you in it. The signs of the time is here. I can see it as I see my hand, that I know he's coming again. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready when he comes. I want to get it right with him. That's why I quit smoking. Hallelujah. Not the stuff come out of North Carolina and Virginia either. That other stuff. That's why I gave back Jack's liquor and card, because I refused to drink. Because you seen a fool, you see Perry on some alcohol. That's a fool. Some people can drink, but I was drinking to get drunk. So what I did was I just don't drink. I don't know when the last time I had some alcohol. Can't even remember. Now, don't tell me now, the devil talks to you. You know, this time of year is that Michelob. Amen, Scrap. Got that little red reef going around that gold cap and that dog bottle. Michelob be telling me I'm still the same. You remember I used to quench your thirst back in the day? I say the devil is a liar. I refuse to go back in my sin. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free at last. I'm free through the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm free. I'm free through the sacrifice that God has made for me. It just blows over our head. God sent his only begotten son. Only begotten son. Which one of your children would you trade to die for me? He sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for me. Because he know I need to be saved. I need salvation. I don't need another church home. Ooh, don't go there. Don't go there, David. Don't go there, David. Don't go there. Don't go there, David. It's bad to have your name on the church roll, but not in the Lamb Book of Life. It's sad, and he'll tell you, we witness to people. Lindsay will tell you, we witness to people in prison. The first thing come out their mouth is they don't want to be a member of no church. What have we done? What have we done? Have they seen us in our negative, that they don't even want to be a member? Y'all know people don't join church now. We just trade members. What have we done? Do they see the love of Christ in your heart? Do they see that you love them so that you're even concerned about them? I was talking to the sisters this morning. She said, I'm going by and pick up a sister. I won't be in Sunday school because she needs a ride. How many of us have called and checked on people? Because I talk to people, and I ask them, I say, anybody from the church call you? No. You got to be concerned about souls. You got to be concerned about people. You need, some of you sitting up here now haven't made a call in years, but you'll jump up and run around in church talking about how you love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Throw your hands all back, kick your shoes off. You can't love him without being concerned about everybody. I'm concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. I'm concerned because I want God, I don't want nobody to miss and go to hell. That's why when you stand before us as preachers, we got to say, thus said the Lord. Preach it. Even when they don't want to hear it. Tell them who came and died for all their sins. That was a miraculous birth that we talked about this morning. Emmanuel, God is with us through the flesh, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the church persecuted him. Hallelujah. Jesus go, and I'm in on this. It's in the Bible. Jesus go to a mountainside where there's one supposed to be lunatic, crazy. He's been chained. He has chains on his arms and felt ropes. And he's in the tomb cutting himself. And Jesus comes and puts his foot on land out of the boat. And the man with the lunatic ran to him and said, why, Jesus, y'all persecute us before the time? He knew that it was Jesus. And the church was saying, he cast out devils by Beelzebub. His daddy's name Joseph. His daddy named Joseph. He's here with us. His mother named Mary. He got other brothers and sisters. That's what the church did. But the man with the lunatic, with the spirit, they realized that Jesus was the Son of God. During this Yuletide season, please, Christians, don't put XMAS on your window. I don't even want you to send me a card if you got XMAS. Because what you don't tell me, you don't want Jesus. You crossing out Jesus. The one for the season. J.C. Penney's ain't put Christmas in the holiday. Neither did Anheuser-Busch. Lick a line long. I'm in with this. My friend of mine used to be an usher at Jack's Liquor. He was an usher at the church. But then his job was at Jack's Liquor. And he used to have to work on Sundays. And I told me and my sister talked about this. He said, Perry, you'll be amazed at all the church rolls and usher pins come through Jack's Liquor after church. I ain't here to condemn nobody. But you know what y'all did to him? You condemned him. And he said, I ain't going to no church. I'm serving them all on Sunday. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's all stand. I run across people now, never been to church. Can you imagine? Yes. They've never been to church because they didn't have anyone to tell them about Jesus. Their parents were not in church. So how can you teach your child something that you don't do? And we're leading people to Christ who said they've never been to church. There's some people in here, you might have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. And you're here today. All God wants you to do is repent of your sins and accept His Son as Lord and Savior of the world. And God will forgive you of all your sins. If you never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to come today so we can lead you to Christ. We got our prayer warriors here, men and women who study the Word of God. They know exactly what to say to you to get you to yield to the things of God. Come now. Come now. Amen. There might be someone in here that's unchurched, don't have a church home. You between this place and that place. You can't eat off of every table. We're learning that there's people that's preaching things that's not of God. You can read it in the Word. This pastor, this bishop, you can follow him through the Scripture. If you're in here today and you unchurched, you between church homes, you need to come now.
I pray God today's message touch you in a mighty way, but there is a decision you need to make. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you now to accept Him. It's easy. All you need to do is ask the Lord to come into your life and save you. The Bible says in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you're ready to be saved, just simply bow your head and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you died for me, and I accept you now as my personal Savior. In Jesus' name, I receive you. If you pray that simple prayer, the Lord came into your life. Write us, email us, let us know of your decision so that we can help you with your continual walk. If you are a backslider or a Christian looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come back to the Lord. I want to invite you to New Life Evangelistic Center. Remember, New Life is a great place to go to heaven from. So don't just sit there. Make a decision today. God has purpose and a plan for your life, and He's ready for that plan to be enacted right now. Move, act, and receive. God bless you, and we'll see you on our next broadcast.